You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
Ben Franklin once said the difference between the right word and almost the right word is about the same difference as lightning and a lightning bug. And so I want to be careful. I told you this last week. When we're talking about church health, it has nothing to do with the amount of cars in the parking lot. And the reason I say that is because sometimes there's a bunch of cars in the parking lot of a dead church. And then sometimes there's a handful of cars in the parking lot of a dead church and are dying. And so let's talk about what Jesus said to the seven churches in Revelation. I really want us to be healthy. I believe right now Cross Brand is healthy, and I'm very thankful for that. But you know, you don't stay healthy by just coasting. It's intentional. And so as we go through this book, we look at some things and we go, okay, we just need to evaluate that as a church to make sure we don't fall prey and fall victim. So in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. I'm one of the guys that don't believe the church is going to go through what is called the Great Tribulation. And one of the reasons is because of the teaching in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Because after that, there is no mention of the church. And that is not something that you need to get mad and leave Cross Brand over. That's just my personal belief based on lots of research by people way smarter than me. When we look at these seven churches, some were good. Some were not so good. I want you, just in review real quick, there's seven churches. They're all relatively close. Ephesus, they had lost their first love. Smyrna was going to be a persecuted church. Pergamum, they needed to repent. They had some problems. Thyatira, they had also some problems. They had a false prophet lady. Then Sardis, they were just asleep, dead. Philadelphia, the church that endured patiently, and Laodicea is probably one of the grossest scriptures you'll ever read. They just made Jesus sick to his stomach. That's a church. And like we looked last week, Jesus himself was talking to the churches. Jesus was going to warn them, but he's also going to say there's going to be some blessings. Jesus knows right now what we are doing at Cross Brand because he said, I know. And he repeated that phrase several times to those seven churches. I know what you're doing. But at the same time, remember, guys, it's something I hadn't realized up until about 3 years ago when I heard John MacArthur talking about it. There are good people in bad churches. And sometimes we endure patiently until God sends us in a different direction. And then finally, you always need to know this. Don't let anybody take that scripture out of context. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 is very clear that if a church has problems, Jesus wants back in. Jesus wants to revitalize that church. And it is up to the folks in that church to let him back in. Now, here's what this all means to us. This is the part I like, because I think it's very simple, some lessons that we can learn from these churches and put it together and say, all right, let's lay Cross Brand, who we are as a church, what we do as a church, let's lay it right beside the Bible, and let's just see if we match up. Let's see if there's anything that we need to do different. Number one, this is the one that scares me to death, influence. The whole point of one of the things that Jesus was talking about, you know, the seven lampstands. We see in Matthew chapter 5 where Jesus said every believer is a light. Every believer is salt. I know it's a little bit symbolic, but guys, as far as we can tell, what Jesus is talking about in Revelation is the loss of influence. And so you look at a church and you go, okay, how much impact is that church having in a community? All right? And I know things are way different from what I grew up with, because literally there were churches in communities. Most of us went to the same place we went to school, same place we did business. We didn't drive like a lot of us do now, because a lot of you drive a long ways to get here. And so you cross community lines. I understand. When I'm talking about community, I'm talking about those geographic locations. But still, how effective is Cross Brand in the community, in the state, in the nation. And you know what? I think you're pretty effective. I think when we go to Walmart, it's kind of cool when you got that bumper sticker on there. You got your cup, you got your cap, and people make comments that don't go here. And by the way, my barber, he ain't got no job security with me. He's a kid, and they've got an old-timey barber shop in Winsboro. It's run by Christians, owned by Christians, and they do talk Jesus. They get you in there, and you can't get out of the chair without hearing the gospel. I love it. But they know about Crossbrand. That's Winsboro. That's good. And a lot of times, you know, some of you will say, hey, I met somebody this week that knows you. And I go, knows me like B.C., before Christ, or knows me after Christ? And it's great to hear these conversations. So watch your influence. Don't let Jesus take away our influence, because he said he would. Number next, here at Crossbrand, or wherever you go to church, don't serve out of obligation. Serve because you love Jesus. A lot of people are just going through the motions, and you can tell, right? If somebody gripes you out, when they hand you our weekly bulletin, they're not serving for the right reason, all right? If they snap at you when you get too many donuts, they are not serving for the right reason. And so let me show you this. Revelation chapter 2, this is in Ephesus. He says, and I'm going to skip, but he says, I know your works, labor, your endurance. Listen to this. He's bragging on them. Can't tolerate evil people. And you've tested them. You persevered. You've endured hardships. And you have not grown weary. But I got this against you guys. I love you. But you realize you've abandoned the love you had at first. What does he say the remedy for that is? If you're bored, just serving out of obligation, he said, remember how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works that you did at first. Otherwise, you're on my list. I'll remove your lampstand, your influence. Now, believe it or not, out of all the problems at church, this is the hardest one to detect. You want to call it other words? Burnout. I know teachers, bless you teachers. But I know teachers that started strong. I know I did. But you get in there about 15 or 20 years, and you're going, I don't like any of these people anymore. And I knew teachers that got there in 5 years. Angry, bitter. Everybody knew. Kids knew. Parents knew. And so, whether you want to call it burnout, here's what Jesus said you need to know about this. If you're not as excited about serving Jesus now as you was in the beginning, something's wrong, all right? So, go back, figure out what you're not doing now. Praying? How's your prayer life? How's your Bible study life? How is your connection with other believers? Like I say, it's hard to detect this one because you may be burnout and just serving out of obligation here, and I might not pick up on it. You know who the first ones to fall victim to this? It's church staff. And they'll get in there, and they'll serve, and they'll serve. And yeah, they're getting paid for it, but if church staff people, whoever they are, if they don't maintain a private relationship with Jesus, they're going to burn out too. It's got to be that private thing. And so here at Crossbrand, here's what I need you to do for me. I need you to watch each other. And if I detect that you're burning out, if you're losing that fervor, as your brother, I just need to say, hey, buddy, step back for a second. Some of you have served and you've served and you've served and you've served. And then here's what happens. We've got a lay pastor right now who is struggling. And so what I'm asking you to do when you see your brothers and sisters, and you can tell, it's happening. They're burning out. They're losing their zeal, that first love. Gently hold them accountable. Did you hear that gentle part? I'm looking at this crowd of guys. You're not known for your genteel behavior. But gently say, hey, buddy, I love you. Let's pray about this. Let's step back. Come back stronger. Number next, y'all know how important this is to me. This next one is a no-brainer, We're not going to compromise at all. Nah, baby. All right? We've got to stand firm on historic Christian doctrines. That deserves a little bigger amen. Okay. And I'm going to give you some little bitty examples where, yeah, we missed a few things through the years and have corrected them. So, Ephesus. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans. And by the way, this guy, a dude that was a ringleader of those, was actually in one of the churches. And he led pretty much a rebellion in the church, split the church. Taught false doctrine, but at Ephesus, they weren't having it. They weren't having it. Pergamos. Jesus said, I got something against you. You have some there who hold to the teachings of Balaam. Now, that's an Old Testament reference. But they were part of the group that did child sacrifices. They were a terrible group of people. Thyatira. You ready? I got this against you. You tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. I know this is a side note. Do you know that you don't know anybody named Jezebel? Has anybody ever named their kid Jezebel? I thought that was funny as I was researching this. You know, the researcher said, I don't think I know anybody named Jezebel. Because there's talk. Was it a literal Jezebel? Somebody that named their kid Jezebel in that church? Probably not, because of the reputation. Probably was her teaching. Sardis, look at this. I know your works and you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. And here's the problem. Many of you don't know what historic doctrines are. Okay, you can go to our website and see what we believe about the big stuff. All right, what's the big stuff? The big stuff is not whether or not you speak in tongues. Believe it or not, that's not the big stuff. The big stuff is not whether you like Cody's skinny jeans. He's cute, though, ain't he? He's pretty. That's not the big stuff. Sorry, Alexis. That's not the big stuff. You know what the big stuff is? The big stuff is, do you believe in the virgin birth of Christ? Do you believe that the Bible is truly God's word? That's the big stuff. Do you believe in salvation by grace only? Right? Do you believe in the physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus? Okay. All right. So that's the big stuff. You come in here and speak in tongues. And, I mean, my grandkids speak in tongues. Wild Man and Fuzzy communicate with one another in tongues. And I have to look at Lily and go, what the heck did they just say? Whether or not you believe that you can lose your salvation, I don't believe it. But we're not going to split a church over that. That's not the big stuff. The big stuff is the big stuff in the Word. It's what the apostles died for. And the problem with some of these churches is it just snuck in. You'd have one lady show up, and by the way, that's happened here. She's not here anymore, thank God. But, you know, she was just spewing some stuff, and it sounded good at first. And then the more you talk to her and you looked at her life, you go, no, bye, Felicia. Let me show you what we've done for. So we watched for that stuff. Believe it or not, a few years ago, a long time ago, don't even try to figure out who this person is I'm talking about. We had a person in our church that would take care when people died. She's real good about sending cards. Brett got hold of one of the cards one day. And look, I'm all about Native Americans. I love the beauty of that culture. But when we're talking about the great spirit of the rock or the great spirit of the trees, that was what was on those cards. A bunch of mysticism. Doctrinally, that was wrong. And, of course, she got mad at us. And we said, let's just buy you a Jesus card. Got a half-naked Native American woman on the front of it. I didn't notice that. I just, at my age, I just noticed the horse. Sorry. Do you see the butt on that thing? Brett and I are talking about the horse. Man, that's a big old sucker. Yeah. And all the 16-year-old boys are going, what a horse. Children's material. We liked to have been in a wreck a few years ago. So Keona comes on, and we are using a very popular children's curriculum. Probably thousands of churches are still using it. But Keona came to me one day and she said, you smell something wrong with this? She counted how many times they talked about sin in like over several months worth of teaching. None. The curriculum, when you peeled it back, you know, all the layers, was really more about being a good citizen. It was teaching morality. Guys, we need Jesus in our kids. Our kids need to know about the mistakes of the Old Testament patriarchs. They need to know how the apostles preached and died and lived and believed. We got to keep that stuff out of our kids' heads. And then I'll give Cody credit. Cody pays attention to music. I don't know if you know this, but a few years ago, we discovered that several of the churches that were writing music, it was not doctrinally true what they were saying in some of the songs. And so Cody started smelling that stuff out and going, well, we don't need to use that one. We don't need to use that one. Guys, we've got to hold to the big stuff. We can't compromise. And you know, ultimately, where we're losing a lot of our younger Christians is in regards to gender issues. It's where we're losing a lot of them. LGBTQ plus issues. And so most churches are bending. Even some of the ones that I didn't think would, they're now bending to that. Allowing their facilities to be used for same-sex weddings. Allowing their staff people to do those weddings. And guys, I don't mean to sound judgy. We just can't do that. Okay? You ready? Number four. This fourth thing we can learn from those churches in Revelation. We must never grow complacent in our first fervor to reach people with the gospel. Revelation chapter 3, at Laodicea, like I say, this is gross, but he said, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. And believe it or not, at Laodicea, there was some, it's my understanding what one researcher was talking about, the reason Jesus used that analogy is because there actually was a stream that it was not hot, so you couldn't soak in it, and it wasn't like a cold that you could enjoy drinking. It was lukewarm water, and so a lot of people, when they'd scoop it out and take a drink, they'd spit it out. And so these people at Laodicea understood the analogy and the symbolism there. But what he's saying is, you guys ain't doing nothing. And what I'm saying is that too many churches, large and small, have become that lukewarm church in America. They've got all their committees in place. They've got people serving on those committees that are ultimately not doing anything. Regardless of the size of the building, maybe it's a church that has their building paid for, like us. We've got our building paid for through the grace of God and miracles. And we can build another one if you'll write us a check. You notice how I just put that in there all the time. Hey, I want to show you an interesting church here. We need to be like the church at Philadelphia. Write to the church at Philadelphia. Say this: the one who has the key of David, who opens and closes, and no one will who opens and no one will close, and who closes and no one opens. And then he goes on in verse 8 and says, there is a door that is open. What most people agree that he's saying is the church at Philadelphia, God had opened some opportunity for them to do ministry. And so what we got to do at Crossbrand is, that's what I was talking about, intentionality. We have got to pay attention to where the opportunities for ministry are. All right? Hey, just because we started a particular program 20 years ago, it may be time to shut the door on it. Guys, ministries have expiration dates. The only thing that don't have an expiration date is the word. All right? Sometimes as a church, we got to sit down, we got to go, okay, is this ministry effective? Is this ministry effective? And if it's not, we have to do something different. Right now at Crossbrand, I want you to know this. And yes, I'm fixing to mention money again. We have some opportunities. We're paying our bills, but we have had to really tighten our belt and adjust. Now, we're not the only church. We heard from Six Flags Over Jesus last week. Green Acres is the place. That they're in the same boat we are. They're going to take a 10% deficit in giving this year. Am I blaming that on y'all? No. I don't buy groceries. When I do, I get mad. It's too high. And I thought I'd save money the other day at the barbecue place. I'm going to save some money. I got a pulled pork sandwich. I saw the price on that thing, and I'm going, and I'm really mad. And so I know that's impacted our giving. But we have some opportunities at Crossbrand. And the reason we're struggling with walking through those doors is money. And so if you're not giving, pray about giving. We're not going to cut a lot of stuff that, that you'll see. But we're going to have to make some adjustments, plain and simple. Let's be the church that when God opens a door, let's walk through it. One of the coolest doors that God opened for us this year, I wasn't here on that Sunday, but was when we were the staging area for the DPS. and the emergency guys. Those guys could not believe a church would be as kind and generous in allowing people in their facilities. And I'm going, what? And they said, yes, sir, nobody does this. And I'm going, wow. And we just loved it. Let's keep walking through those open doors. And finally, before I let you go to the Cracker Barrel, we're going to have to be willing to suffer. Now, I'll just skip real quick. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. This was at Smyrna. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison, test you, and you will experience affliction. 10 days. And then he goes on, says another church is going to have to endure too. Here's what I need to challenge you with. Look, we're going to suffer a little bit. And I'm just going to be real transparent with you guys. Several churches in Texas, a lot of churches in Texas, were dropped by their insurance. And you're saying, well, what's that got to do with suffering? Because when we get the new bill, when we get somebody new to insure us, it's going to cost a lot of money. What blows my mind, hang on. If you sell insurance, I love you. I hope you're saved. We had two claims in like 20 years. And they just pulled it out from under us, Brett. And so it's gonna hurt a little. It's gonna hurt a little. As a church, because we're gonna stand firm on doctrine, because we're not gonna let certain people speak in our arena because of our beliefs, we're gonna take some hits for it. I'm just telling you. There's going to be people that say, oh, you go to that church with that preacher. Thank you. Be willing to suffer. Now, let me ask you a question. Three things. Do you believe Crossbrand will still be here, healthy and strong, when Jesus returns? Okay. Let me just skip to the main question. If everybody in this church was the same kind of Christian as you, how healthy we will be. Well, heck. So we look deep in our heart for struggling with sin, if we're got, you know, just hurt habit or a hang up, as we say. Are we dealing with that? Like I talked about on Wednesday night, are we confessing that? We're only as healthy as the people that are here. We. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the churches in Revelation. Thank you for old John that was exiled with a bunch of criminals on the island of Patmos. And I'm sure some of the stuff he saw scared him to death, but thank you for using him. I pray today, Father, that we will be healthy until you come back. Now, Jesus, I pray you come soon. Come get us, Jesus. But we want to be healthy. Father, if there's someone here today, I know I've spoken to Christians, for Christians. If there's someone here today that is, they don't have a relationship with you, I pray that you'll open their eyes, wake them up, let them come to faith, even if they just do it from right where they're sitting, invite you in, ask for your forgiveness, and change their life. Father, we're blessed people, but we're blessed because you're a good daddy. In Christ's name, amen.